I'm Mr. Rajesh Shah. I work at the University Hospital of South Manchester. I'm a consultant thoracic and transplant surgeon. I'm also the clinical director of cardiothoracic services. So in the next 20 minutes, I'll try and share with you the broad concept of surgery for chronic pulmonary aspergillosis. And the learning outcomes are, we'll try and go through what is chronic pulmonary aspergillosis, how is CPA managed, what is the prognosis for chronic pulmonary aspergillosis, and is there any role for surgery? So what is chronic pulmonary aspergillosis? It is a spectrum of disease characterized by slow and progressive destruction of the lung. Patients are not immunocompromised or minimally immunocompromised. Patients usually have pre-existing lung disease like TB or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. There is formation of new cavities or expansion of the existing ones, plus minus fungal ball or presence of nodules. They have prominent respiratory or systemic symptoms for at least more than 3 months. They have raised inflammatory markers, and they have positive Aspergillus IgG or biopsy showing hyphae consistent with Aspergillus species. So what are the different radiological phenotypes of chronic pulmonary aspergillosis? It could present as an Aspergillus nodule, as shown in the picture. It could present radiologically as a simple aspergilloma, as shown in the next slide. It could present as chronic cavitary pulmonary aspergillosis, shown in the third picture here, or it could present as chronic fibrosing pulmonary aspergillosis, as shown in the last picture. The medical treatment options include various drug therapy like etraconazole or voriconazole, posaconazole, isavuconazole, or intravenous therapy like mycofungin and amphotericin B. So what is the outcome of medically treated chronic pulmonary aspergillosis? The 1 year survival is 86%, the 5 year survival is 62%, and 10 year survival is 47%. So why should one consider surgery? What are the aims of surgery and what are the benefits of surgery? The aim of the surgery is to cure the disease, avoid complications of chronic pulmonary aspergillosis, prevent progression, and possibly avoid antifungal treatment. The outcome depends on ability to fully resect the diseased portion of the lung, the experience of a surgical team, adequate lung function, and appropriate performance status. So what are the indications for surgery in chronic pulmonary aspergillosis? Number one, it could be removal of a nodule for diagnostic and therapeutic purposes, or it could be removal of a simple aspergilloma in an otherwise normal lung. It could be dealing with large volume hemoptysis, or failure to control the disease with medical therapy alone, a large residual cavity increasing the risk for secondary infections, complications resulting from progressive disease, and to improve quality of life. So when is surgery indicated? Obviously, these are highly complex, difficult, and challenging operations. So it's important to weigh the risk versus the benefits. The risk of the operation could be any of the complications, which include spillage into the pleural cavity, resulting in an empyema, development of bronchopleural fistula with persistent air leak, hemoptysis, relapse. Benefits would be a life-saving operation, especially in cases presenting with massive hemoptysis. And surgery could be potentially curative, and in some cases, the antifungal treatment may be avoided. So what are the different surgical procedures which could be done in chronic pulmonary aspergillosis? It could be a form of lung resection. The commonest operation is a lobectomy, whereby we would remove a lobe of the lung. The right lung has got 3 lobes and the left lung has got 2 lobes. Removal of any of the lobe of the lung would be a lobectomy. It could be a segmentectomy, which is less than a lobectomy, and we would remove 1 or 2 of any of the 19 segments of the lung. Some segments are easier to remove than others. The third procedure which could be considered is a sublobar wedge resection, which is removing the aspergilloma with surrounding normal lung tissue. The fourth procedure which could be considered, not done very often and should be done only in extreme cases, is a pneumonectomy, which is removal of the entire lung. In cases where the aspergilloma is within a bulla, we would do a bullectomy, which is just removal of the bulla along with the aspergilloma. And in cases of aspergillus empyema, we would consider doing a pleurectomy and decortication. So the next slide shows the frequency with which the various surgical procedures are performed. Lobectomy is the most commonest operation done in almost 50% of the cases in this large series by Farid et al., published in the Journal of Cardiothoracic Surgery in 2013. The next common operation is a sublobar wedge resection. Pneumonectomy, as I said earlier on, is not performed very frequently, but it is still done in about 10% of the cases. Decortication in 7% of the cases, and very rarely a bilateral lung transplant done usually in cases with other lung pathology like sarcoidosis, which has got secondary contamination with Aspergillus disease. So what are the long-term outcomes as a result of surgery? For simple aspergilloma, the 10-year survival is anywhere between 69 to 90%. For chronic cavitary pulmonary aspergillosis, where one carries out surgical intervention, the 10-year survival is anywhere between 63 to 80%, and it's slightly less than in simple aspergillomas. The following slide outlines the literature to date in the surgical outcomes for chronic pulmonary aspergillosis. The point to be highlighted here is the earlier series has got significant higher mortality than the recent series, and in general, the complex aspergillomas carry a much higher mortality than in simple aspergillomas. So once again, to reinforce, the surgical results and outcomes in terms of mortality have improved in the last decade or last couple of decades. And simple aspergillomas consistently carry lower mortality than in complex aspergillomas. So what are the complications which could occur after these challenging and difficult operations? It could be persistent air leak, could be pleural space problems, could be bronchopleural fistula, an empyema, especially if there is spillage of the aspergillus into the pleural cavity, pneumonia, wound infection, respiratory failure, and massive hemorrhage. It is important to optimize preoperatively as much as possible in order to minimize the postoperative complications. In particular, the nutritional status should be optimized, which may include dietary input and PEG feeding, optimization of the respiratory status with routine physiotherapy, antifungal treatment, especially to prevent aspergillus empyema, to prevent recurrence, to prevent progression of residual disease, and in multicavitary disease. At least 2 weeks of IV voriconazole or macafungin prior to surgery is advisable. For discrete aspergillomas or simple aspergillomas where the risk of contamination is low, preoperatively and antifungal treatment may not be necessary. In cases of significant persistent hemoptysis, bronchial artery embolization could be considered. Intraoperatively, if there is contamination of the pleural cavity with the fungus, we would advocate washing the pleural cavity with 2% taurolidine or amphotericin B deoxycholate. It can be used for pleural decontamination during surgery. And it may prevent aspergillus empyema. When should we consider postoperative antifungal treatment? In patients with localized lesion or in patients where there is no spillage at the time of the operation, we would consider stopping antifungal treatment shortly after surgery. Postoperatively, we would advise antifungal treatment in case there is spillage into the pleural cavity to minimize the risk of pleural aspergillosis, and in cases where there is residual disease left in order to minimize the risk of long-term relapse. Relapse is unlikely if simple aspergilloma is completely resected, and monitoring can be done clinically with aspergillus IgG and chest X-ray. Thank you.